the comments in on my reel kind of prove my point a little bit about why it was a mistake for Tucker to have Nick Fuentes on, because everybody in my comments who was pro this interview is like, no, we just need to let people talk and the good will rise to the top. And then these people are going to be exposed for who they are. This is good. Tons of comments under my reel were like, oh my gosh, I had never heard about Nick Fuentes before this interview with Tucker. He actually didn't sound that bad. Like, I agreed with a lot of things he said. And if he's America first, well, we have that in common.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin, because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Miss Sadie, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Oh, yeah. You sound tired.
I am tired. Like, I am today. Yes.
I am too. I'm pretty beat up. I've actually gotten back to going to the gym in the morning.
Is that helping or hurting the situation?
I don't know. It depends on the situation. My health, my my life in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm starting back, like, you know, I would work out in the garage, but I wasn't consistent. And so now we are paying for a course. Also, my husband's going with me. So he's
so
like,
there's accountability. You have
there's
to go.
Accountability
you can't be the
there.
One that sleeps in.
Correct. So all of that so far, so good. I am just exhausted. I'm just tired.
Yeah,
I'm just tired because it means waking up a little bit earlier and adjusting to a new schedule. And believe it or not, I mean, I am not a morning person naturally. But ever since you and I have been partnered together, we started initially doing those AM podcasts.
Oh,
that was completely out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But it's become a habit. And I was like, I'm going to take advantage of this habit.
Yeah.
But it's still killing me slowly.
Yeah, good for you, though. Like, that's very, very good. I question my life choices every morning when I realize that I made the Dawn Dispatch, which I think is an objectively good newsletter. I made it a very consistent part of my Substack and offered it to my paying subscribers Tuesday through Friday. But I like to get it out by, you know, a reasonable morning hour, and I'll wake up in a panic like, oh my gosh, I didn't format that right, or I have to add in this. And I'm just like, why did I do that? But yeah, here we are.
Here we are. We do this to ourselves. So
we do it to ourselves.
Well, before we get started today, if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button so you don't miss a single episode. We are on all podcast platforms. I always get that tongue tied. And we are also now on YouTube, but we're on YouTube a day after the initial recording. So if you become a paying subscriber, you get ad-free episodes, you get unfiltered bonus episodes once a month, access to the community, and you get immediate access as soon, like it's at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Like right now, what time is it? It's noon. It's 12:49. So by 4 o'clock, you will be watching this on Substack exclusively for paying subscribers. And if you want to join one of our individual Substacks and you are already a Rivera and Reeves subscriber, shoot us a DM. Actually, we've been getting quite a few of those.
I was going to say, we've had a lot of interest with that little package there. You get everything.
Yeah. So you shoot us a DM and we will share. And so actually, more often than not, shoot me a DM and I'll share Rachel's code because she gets lost.
It gets dicey over here. There's a lot of incoming.
It literally happened yesterday. Somebody was like, so I've reached out to Rachel and I haven't heard from her yet. And I'm like, you know what?
Sorry.
Here you go.
Yeah. I don't know how. Is there anybody who checks all of their DMs? Like, I just cannot keep up. So I know that there's like,
I don't have the numbers you have
thousands.
On Instagram yet.
Yeah.
And I also don't. I mean, let's be honest, I don't know how to say this. Like, I don't encourage back and forth as much. I just encourage reaction because of that, because I don't want to get like flooded with things just because of my like nature of getting overwhelmed with stuff.
Oh, but I don't ask people to DM me. You mean just like encouraging dialogue?
Correct. Because I just kind of like publish information and you share a lot more opinion and thoughts, which is going to trigger conversation and feedback. And I'm not saying like one is better than the other or anything like that. I'm just saying that
they're just different.
My format doesn't like encourage it. It's not that I don't get it, because I do, but I don't think I get it to the degree that you do. And then sometimes I'm like, maybe I should share. And then I hear your stories and I'm like, no, I got a podcast. I have to edit. I have a podcast I have to deal with right now.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of the podcast, what are we talking about today? So Rachel and I talked quite a bit over the last few days, kind of just trying to figure out what to talk about. Also, there's just a lot going online. Mm-hmm. And we've actually been sharing a lot of thoughts behind the scenes, as opposed to what we usually do here is we'll have a news story, we'll break it down, Rachel gives a reaction, we discuss it, and that sort of thing. And so this morning, we were having the same discussion. I think it's been going on for like, 3 days now, at least?
Well, I mean, honestly, and for like...
Honestly, longer than that.
6 months, but yeah. Definitely for a month and a half.
Yeah. And so we thought that maybe with minimal notes, if actually with no notes, we would just engage in some of the discussions that we've been having offline here on the podcast, which is completely the opposite of what my platform usually is.
Yes.
It's getting
when she told me what we were supposed to talk about headline wise, I was like, that sounds so boring. And I know we need
honestly,
to.
I wasn't particularly excited about it either.
No. And we need to talk about those things. But I was like, I'm going to be useless because I have not been thinking about those things, because I've been thinking about more of like the broad cultural ramifications of what we're kind of watching right now. And I was like, I know this is going to pain you, but maybe we go off script and talk about our feelings. Then Masay was like, I would rather die.
I did not say no, I'd rather die.
You were very open to the idea.
I was like, actually, yeah, we can do that. Whatever. It's not all about me. This is not the Masady. And
but I appreciate a structure, and you provide that. And when I want to blow it to bits and chat, I can see how that could irritate you. I'm just saying. But it didn't.
You know, see, I'm actually much more flexible than you would think.
Yeah.
So let's start the therapy session. Rachel.
All right.
Tell me, what's on your mind?
I mean, which direction do you want to go in? Like, because there was a couple of things we had toyed with, like talking about. This could go a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. Lead me. What do you want? Where do you want to go?
Okay, so let me open it up with this one. And I think because like we're going to start here and we'll see where this goes, right?
Yep.
So it's like a warm-up session. Mm-hmm. So the other day I shared a link with you from a report from Semaphore. So if you guys are unfamiliar who Semaphore is, it's a left-leaning publication. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think their editor... their editor-in-chief ran BuzzFeed News at one point.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he ran BuzzFeed News at one point, which is relevant because BuzzFeed News was who first published the Steele dossier.
Oh, okay.
That was like that was already questionable. Yeah, BuzzFeed News was who first published it.
Like, that's crazy.
The first time that the full dossier was released, because it was bouncing around several outlets for a while and nobody wanted to publish it because it wasn't like there was still a lot of speculation on whether or not it was verified.
Yeah.
Well, BuzzFeed was like,
is BuzzFeed even around anymore? Is BuzzFeed a thing still?
I believe BuzzFeed is, but BuzzFeed News is gone.
Okay.
And I don't even think BuzzFeed exists to the extent that existed like in the 2010s and stuff like that. Yeah. Like they're like not even relevant anymore.
Yeah.
But so anyways, that is who had, just to give you an idea of who heads up Semaphore. Okay. Now, why does this matter? Because Semaphore just published the other day an article about a study done by a group called Welcome. And the study, it was, I think, I forget the name of the, it was something about like Democrats to win or something along those lines. But ultimately what the study found was, I'm trying to find it here. I have it here in my Democratic Party. Okay. So deciding to win. And so this was organized by toward a common sense renewal of the Democrat Party. Okay. And it was recently published, and it found that, like, the Democrat Party brand essentially is tanked. And that, like, 70% of Americans view it as, like, they can't be trusted.
Okay.
And they're not considered positive. So initially, this is being shared because the idea is that you hear that, like, 70% of Americans don't like the Democrat Party, don't trust the Democrat Party. You think, like, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you think,
it's going to be like, yeah, you're right. You caught on to what we have been saying for a long time.
Like, thank you for joining us and realizing what we've been saying forever. And it sounds like good news initially, but then I started to think about, once you dig into the study, my question was, what is this 70%? What do they think? Because it's 70% of Americans think that the Democrat Party is out of touch, was the specific term, does not necessarily mean that all of these people are going to go and vote Republican.
Right.
Because there's plenty of uber progressives that hate the Democrat Party right now.
Right. Yeah.
Especially the Democratic Socialists of America.
I was going to say, they're taking over New York. So.
Correct. So, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, because I'm seeing this being promoted as a story of, like, this is a good thing. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, Republicans have a chance here. But I see what's happening in New York, and I see what's happening with this senator in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
I recently just saw an ad of a woman that is running. Which I had no idea. Georgia is a neighboring state. I had no idea that there was a woman in Congress, I don't know what district that she's in, that has partnered with CARE and has been supported by the Democratic Socialists of America. And actually, I think I have a clip kind of explaining her, which will go a whole lot easier here. Okay, let me play it right here.
As Georgia as we come. I'm also the granddaughter of Palestinian refugees. My family lost everything and had to rebuild from nothing.
So this is Roar Roman. She was born in Jordan and has now entered the 2026 race for governor of Georgia. If you live in Georgia, here's what you need to know before you eventually cast a vote. Roman was communications director for CARE Georgia. Let me tell you a little bit about CARE. In 2008, the Holy Land Foundation was convicted of sending money to Hamas. During the trial, evidence came out showing CARE's founders had ties to the same Hamas network. After that, the FBI cut them off. You're like, what does that mean? Well, because after 9/11, and FBI treated CARE as a partner, bringing them into outreach programs with Muslim communities. CARE denies the allegations. Now, in 2022, when Roman initially ran for state representative, she was endorsed by Working Families Party. WFP works closely with Democrat Socialists of America, DSA. Both are culturally and economically Marxist. WFP is a registered political party. Candidates run on that line. DSA, it's not an actual party. That's kind of like the get-out-the-vote machine. So case in point, Zohar Mandami, possibly New York City's future mayor, is endorsed by DSA and WFP. Rashida Tlaib, also endorsed by both. So, Georgia voters, this is a little bit about the movement behind Roman.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, and I just thought, wow, okay, this is not just a Mamdani problem. And everybody who is saying it's going to stay in New York, it'll crash and burn, and it'll be a lesson to all the other states in the country, I think that they're missing that it's nothing ever just stays in one state. It's not going to just stay in New York. And it's going to be a very convenient line, you know, a narrative spun. If he does ruin the city, not win, and is unable to implement, or they're poorly implemented, all these policies, they're just going to use the excuse that it's the rich and the rich are holding them down and not letting them. What I'm saying is the traction is there and it's going to continue. And I don't think it's going to be as simple as let them fail and everybody will learn their lesson. I just don't think the problem's going away. It's growing.
Well, it's that. And it's also my concern. Like, I went and I dug through this study a little bit more. And because I was like, okay, so the study's saying you guys need to stop with the they, them, and the, you know,
trans
identity
stuff.
Politics and all of this kind of stuff. This is not going to abolish the police, all of those super progressive messaging. Mm-hmm. This study says, cut it out. Let's not talk about it. However, if you dig into the study about the messaging around economics,
Yeah.
The tune is different. And that is my concern. Now, while this study will also acknowledge that specifically making, like, I find this really funny. So let me read this to you. This is a summary. It says, in the executive summary, the report warns voters' frustrations with the status quo are not the same as a desire for socialism. Okay, yes, correct. It says, this is a key caveat in the fifth recommendation, which calls for critiquing lobbyist corporations and ultra-wealthy while clarifying that anti-corporate rhetoric should complement popular reforms, not substitute them to veer into socialism. And then it goes, it positions this as a populist approach inspired by pre-2020, but stops short of endorsing socialist overhauls.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm reading this and they're acknowledging just saying full out socialism is not a good idea.
Right.
But if we can package this where it's palatable, where, you know, and we line up with Bernie Sanders, who was just on stage with Mondani and AOC the other day, who has called himself a democratic socialist and AOC also. Like, let's just say maybe, okay, Bernie Sanders is what, conservative compared to Mondani?
Yeah.
That's not to say that that's not problematic. And that's not to say that those other, like when you're talking about state representatives, when you're talking about governors in certain cities, senators, other group, that they're not going to try. The DSA currently is being funded. They're all about against the billionaires and oligarchy, but they're being funded by super progressive billionaires like the Soros Foundation. Right. And they have decided to double down. They're like, okay, well, let's change our messaging. So it can't be about LGBTQ and demolishing, you know, the police, anti-police messaging.
Yeah, get rid of the patriarchy, toxic.
Yeah, but if we package this just right as an economic message.
Well, and that's smart because the economy really does impact everybody, especially the youth vote that they need. And LGBTQ issues don't impact everybody. The trans issue doesn't impact everybody. Like, economy is the way to go. And so they can arrive at their radical means by becoming a solution to a pain point that a lot of Americans, I've said it 1,000 times, we need Republicans to really focus on the cost of living issue because that is impacting across the country and they're smart. They definitely are understanding how to identify something that a lot of Americans are going through, which is economic woes. They're like, you know, stuff still costs a lot. I still have debt. I can't afford the American dream, yada, yada, yada. So they're going to arrive at their radical destination. They're just going to do it in a really, really clever way.
Well, and then if you take in consideration, I mean, Gallup just did a poll in September. It says only 54% of Americans view capitalism positively, down from 60% in 2021.
Well, it's because they don't even know what capitalism is. That's just nobody knows what they're talking about anymore.
Because they're not taught this in school anymore.
In school. And they don't know what civics are. They don't know. I mean, listen, we all can make fun of the man on the street bits. And we used to think they were actually really funny when like Jay Leno would do it because they were so absurd because it was like clearly no one is this dumb, right? And that's why we would laugh. We'd watch it and be like, wow, that's embarrassing for them. But now the man on the street videos are all the time and they're everywhere and they're all college students and they don't know anything, like basic fundamental things. And so we say it a lot and you feel kind of bad saying it, but we live in a really stupid timeline where people don't, they're not even being taught to read and write in schools, let alone being taught accurate history or civics. So yeah, they can say, I hate capitalism. They don't even know what it is. And they don't know how it positively or negatively impacts their life. They just, it's a talking point.
Well, and when you have young people ages like 18 to 29, a YouGov poll had them at 62% favorable view of socialism. That, to me, is why when I saw people talking about this study of like, oh, 70%, like 70% don't trust the Democrats or see them as out of touch. I'm like, okay, but what percentage within that 70% is going to go, well, those people are also equally crazy when we're talking about Mondani types and
well, what AOC percentage of that 70% can give a working definition of socialism? Like, do any of them even know what socialism is? Because if they're framing it as a positive movement, then clearly they don't understand what they're talking about.
Well, and I think it's because it's being, you know, they're not being taught about the ultimate, like, end game of what mm-hmm. happens when you pursue socialism. Like,
yeah.
every country, every revolution that has been, like, driven mm-hmm. and ended with a socialist structure, economic structure, has completely crumbled. This utopian idea is just, it's no longer taught to them anymore. And then the next step is like, oh, but we're not coming. I'm like, well, because Mamdani, he's going to say he's a socialist, that he's Democrat socialist, but he has espoused communist economic ideas. So I do not believe you.
Well, and you see how the acceptance gets easier and easier and easier. You have Obama with some socialistic ideas, and then it graduated into Bernie Sanders, who's like, low-key, I'm a socialist, but I'm not going to say it because he still is smart enough to understand that just doesn't work here. And then give it a couple years, then you have Mamdani, who's like, yeah, I'm a socialist. Yeah. And then in 5 years, if the revolution on the left continues in this trajectory, people are going to be full on, not only am I a socialist, but I'm kind of down with some communist-y stuff too. Like, it all flows in one direction. It gets more and more and more progressive. You just got to give it a couple years. And to think it's going to stay in New York is foolish. This movement is coming to the state near you.
Well, and this is one of the things that's really had me kind of concerned recently, is I've been a little taken aback with the rise of these politicians, or of these candidates, let's say, and that they're no longer wanting to, hide. You know what? I don't even want them to hide what their ideas are. I just want people to be educated on what their ideas will result in.
Correct.
That's my issue. And I think I get really frustrated with this entire concept of, it's like, of like opposing or challenging. And you see that happening right now with Mamdani. Like, immediately, like, people are starting to challenge him and he's falling back on, like, that this is all rooted in fear and racism. And I'm like, yeah, you know what?
Islamophobia.
That is also a concern, because I have seen, like, what was it? Yesterday, I saw a news report from Fox News had found a interview that his mother did in 2013.
Oh, yeah. Saying he's not even American.
Yeah. On, like, in an Indian publication.
Mm-hmm.
He comes from a very wealthy family. His mother, you know, his father is a professor. We have played clips of his father equating the United States to Nazi Germany. Okay.
Well, I'm saying Abraham Lincoln, like, got his ideas, or Hitler got his ideas for concentration camps from Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just some crazy ideas.
Crazy
In this interview, she specifically said, well, he's not even American. Like, his identity isn't American. He might live in the United States. He might be a natural, he might be a citizen of the United States, but he does not view himself as an American. And that is coming out of the mouth of his mother. So all of a sudden, you know, he's like offended if you start to question anything that has to do. And that was just like, that was his 2013. I saw a video of him just the other day where he's like, this package that we're viewing right now of Mamdani, it's not genuine. Real.
And it will evaporate once he's elected. It will go away. This is
and I only bring that up because it's not, my focus isn't necessarily him per se. My focus here is people being informed about it, and I get really, I've found myself recently getting very anxious about people acting with emotion, which is what mm-hmm. people naturally do. And they see someone, he's charismatic. And so let's just look at this as like a full package.
A veneer.
Yeah. The Democrat Socialist Association, they're all very friendly. They're all very approachable. They're smiley. I'm just like you. It's like, you know, this chick that is running for governor in Georgia, I throw bay hells. I'm just as Georgia as you. Don't just like, let's not bring up the fact that, you know, I've worked under CARE, or that the Democratic Socialists of America endorse me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but socialism is completely anti-American. It is anti-Western. So I bring all this up because to not acknowledge that, or to feel secure, it's like, oh, this 70%, this is awesome, this is great. And to be blind of that within that 70%, there is very likely like this issue. We have been talking about how the left, or the Democrats specifically, have a real problem because they are allowing themselves to be dragged by the most progressive wing of their party. I mean, you had Kathy Hochul the other day on stage with Zora Mandani. You had Hakeem Jeffries, who just basically passively in the weakest way possible endorsed Mandani. And look, it's not to beat up on Mandani, but right now he's the one on
the
stage.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My point is that he, to me, is the glaring bright light of what could potentially come. In that entire vein, I think, you know, we've had this discussion before during an Unfiltered episode about how, what's his name? James Lindsay has talked about kind of like warning people of, and I still don't like his term of the, what was it? The term that he uses? The woke right.
Yeah, woke right.
Yeah. Or something like that, which I still find like ridiculous and irritating. Yeah. But I think we would be naive to not acknowledge that the right has the same problem bubbling up and that we can just like ignore it like the Democrats did. I think that would be very unwise.
Yeah.
And I think that we, like what we just saw over the last, 48 hours, actually it's been happening for much longer than that, exposes that. Like, especially considering, you know, you posted about, and in case I'm not clear, I'm talking about Tucker Carlson having Nick Fuentes on, and you posted about it, and your social media went sideways for...
Yeah.
Still?
Still. Yep. People were very upset, and I'm still trying to figure out what nerve it touched. I think because I discussed in the post that this rise in the acceptance or the wink and the nod to anti-Semitism, to complete distrust of all government entities, to a not just disagreements, but hatred and vitriol towards people in your own party, you know, the neocons and what have you, the skepticism to anything establishment. It's just the wink and the nod at racism, at some really disgusting anti-Christian talking points. I'm not sure what part of that is upsetting people that I brought it up. I would think we could all be in agreement with that. But like you said, it really touched a nerve with people. So much so to where people are going, are asking questions. And I'm just thinking, we're not even on the same planet. Now, I definitely have felt like that with progressives, but so-called conservatives who are upset that I would dare to say that Tucker Carlson having Nick Fuentes on is not a good idea. That is that's indicative of a much bigger discussion we need to have, an issue that we have within on the right. So that's where I'll start.
I saw you post that, and then I went into your comments, and I replied to you because I was actually kind of like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a few patterns, and I don't know if we're going to get through all of this, but we're going to get through some of it. Okay. One of the ones, the first one that I noticed was like that you were either like attempting to cancel Tucker or that all of a sudden you are anti-free speech, which I was like, okay, that to me is really weird considering that she's never called to deplatform anyone. Nope. I know you watch Tucker way more than I do.
I do. I listen to every one of his podcast episodes. I wouldn't want Tucker to go away. I think he's providing a valuable service right now. But I think, again, and I don't know if this is just because people are mad, so they want something kind of incendiary to say, or if they truly don't understand the difference between an opinion and not liking what someone does and not supporting free speech. I didn't even bring free speech into it. I just said what Tucker, having Nick Fuentes on his show was unwise. And I explained why. And I could have gone on for an hour and explained many other reasons why I think it is ill-advised to bring someone like Nick Fuentes on, knowing that you have the largest conservative platform in the country, and then offering him a place to revise his character and do this revisionist history of who he really is that runs in complete contradiction to who he's been online for a decade, and not pushing back, not asking questions, not demanding context, not, you know, and there was a couple points there because I did listen to it, even though everybody's like, you must not have listened to it. I'm like, please.
Yeah, I was like, actually, I listened to it last night, too. Yeah, because I was like, I'm not going to talk about this.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that he pushed back on, but there were some like big like moments where he just said nothing and let it just
go.
He let Fuentes redefine who he is as a
I think for me that was the biggest thing. And so now Tucker Carlson, you just kind of have to come to a moment to acknowledge, like I had to, like the guy is not a journalist, and anybody who's looking at him like a journalist, like let me open your eyes, because he's not, because he is not pursuing, he's going to say he is, but the way he conducts his interviews, he is not pursuing truth.
Right.
This isn't a dog Joe Rogan. He's like Joe Rogan, where he just has people on and he has a conversation with them. And then just for the most part, we'll just let them talk. Now, yeah. I will say that Joe Rogan.
I was going to say, Joe Rogan, like, he will push back on people.
I have seen him push back pretty hard as opposed to Tucker Carlson. I've seen multiple times where he does an interview and he doesn't push back. Or if he pushes back, it's like it's a gentle push. Like, for example, during this interview when he was talking with Fuentes, you know, he specifically was like, look, I do not approve of blanketly labeling a group of people based on their race, like generalizing, like a collective punishment. He's like, I don't approve of that, which is great. Awesome. Yay for you. But then when Fuentes spoke, he was like, well, no, me neither. Or I don't wish any ill harm on anyone. Or
that's what he does all the time.
And I'm like, that is objectively not true.
Yes, it's false.
He has said some horrible thing. I actually, when we were talking about this, there's a few things I think that are going on here. First of all, you can say anybody, let me just say, like, this isn't even a defense of you. Anybody can say whatever they want. And just because you don't agree with them does not mean that you're canceling them or you're, you know,
right.
It's your free speech, their free speech. It's fine.
Basic. Yes. This is 101. Yeah.
That is, which is very different to what was happening on the left. Where the left was actively going after advertisers, wanting to deplatform,
doxing them, then
shaming people for like, why. Now, is Tucker getting pushed for platforming Fuentes? Yes, but I think it's also because he didn't challenge Fuentes with a lot of his ideals. For example, a perfect example is when Fuentes goes and he says that he admires Stalin.
And he said it multiple times, too, that it was one of his favorite days of the year, December 18th, because it's Stalin's birthday. He knew.
And Tucker was like, oh, we'll get back to that. And he never gets back to that. And I bring that in particular up because I understand that as people, as being on the right and being a conservative, you are constantly attacked with accusations of racism, of intolerance, of hate. And so when you hear someone being labeled an anti-Semite or being accused of racism, it makes sense to me to doubt it and to have a knee-jerk reaction to it. And I think in the issue particular of Israel, you can absolutely question, I think Israel, there's issues with the governance of Israel. I think there's issues with Netanyahu. I think there's issues with especially what's been happening in Gaza, and that it's like this, it's been consistent. Like, we can talk about those policies, and those criticisms are absolutely valid. And the criticisms also of the United States sending funds to Israel.
Yeah.
But if there is a difference between having that, and which I would argue that Tucker, even though for me, I don't think he's an anti-Semite. I don't think his issue is anti-Semitism, as in the hate of Jews. I think he conflates things, and I think he is revisionist, and I think that is problematic. And having people like Fuentes to then allow them to be revisionist about their own image, I think is also a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's just my opinion. I don't think this should be like the future of the party. And he's on there on the podcast going, well, now that everybody agrees with you, well, everybody agrees with you, maybe in the sense of, like, he was saying that Charlie Kirk agrees with him in regards to Israel. I'm like, no. That is not true. I actually have, because my issue primarily, like, we can acknowledge all of that, but I can make the argument here and we can set that aside. We can set aside the issue of Israel and we can set aside the anti-Semitism statements and the racist statements and the sexist statements, by the way, objectively sexist statements that he has made. He claims himself, he will call himself to be a Christian, but his spirit does not deliver that. And he has promoted persecution of anyone who does not align with his Christianity. Like, honestly, if we have Protestants here listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. he has spoken, because he's a Catholic, I believe, and this isn't a dog on cat, this is specific on Fuentes. He has advocated for the persecution of anyone who does not align with his views, his religious views. Right. Let me see. I think I have something here to give you an example of that. Okay. Now, before I play this clip, it is a 1 minute clip of a longer 6 minute clip, because I don't want to be like accused of pulling him out of context. This 6 minute clip, even though this one's being used for an attack about how he's calling for the persecution of Jews, or specifically there's problematic language in that, but he's talking in general with anyone that is outside of his religious worldview. Mm-hmm.
There is an occult element at the high levels of society, and specifically among the Jews. So many of the people that are perpetrating the lies and the destruction on the country, they are evildoers. They are people that worship false gods. They are people that practice magic or rituals or whatever. And more than anything, those people need to be, when we take power, they need to be given the death penalty. Straight up. And I'm far more concerned about that than I am about even non-white people or mass migration. These people that are communing with demons and engaging in this sort of witchcraft and stuff, and these people that are suppressing the name Christ and suppressing Christianity, they must be absolutely annihilated when we take power. This is God's country. This is Jesus's country. This is not the domain of atheists or devil worshipers or perfidious Jews. This is Christ's country.
And for this one video that we just watched, there are hundreds more like this of Nick saying things that if you said this at the dinner table, everyone in your family would think you'd lost it. And we're not talking just about, because I can have an argument with someone about Tucker and say, I don't think he's actually an anti-Semite. We can agree to disagree. And I can feel like he's moving down that path. Or we can have that discussion about Candace Owens. And I can see where someone's going to say, no, she's not. And I'm going to say, yeah, I believe she is. But we can agree to disagree. With Nick Fuentes, it is not just about the state of Israel or Christian Zionism, which Tucker claimed yesterday. And was talking about, which that's a whole other like problematic part of the podcast.
Yeah, I think we can do a whole other podcast on that one.
Right. But with Nick, he is not just against the state of Israel. He is against and speaks very clearly and openly about his disdain for Jewry, which is what he calls it. He talks about his disdain for Black people, Hispanics, mass immigration. He talks about women and says they're disgusting, they're inferior, they're beneath him, they must be subordinate. He talks about and has made really problematic conversation about underage females. He has said on and on and on. He has said extremely, I hate the word problematic too, because it's not like it's maybe a problem. He just says really disgusting, vile things, and it can't be argued against. And so my whole point, and actually the comments on my reel kind of prove my point a little bit about why it was a mistake for Tucker to have Nick Fuentes on, because everybody in my comments who was pro this interview is like, no, we just need to let people talk and the good will rise to the top. And then these people are going to be exposed for who they are. This is good. You should want this. And tons of comments under my reel were like, oh my gosh, I had never heard about Nick Fuentes before this interview with Tucker. He actually didn't sound that bad. Like, I agreed with a lot of things he said. And if he's America first, well, we have that in common. And I went, that's it. That's it right there. He was able to get on that show and was given permission by Tucker and all of those editors and producers that were there to totally revise who he is as a person. That is not who he cleaned up to be and how they stayed away from some extremely gross things that he has said and that he stands for. He was given permission to rewrite who he is for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever, and kind of shine him up and make him a little bit more normal for like normie conservatives. And when I saw a bunch of women going, well, what's so bad about him? Like, from what I heard, maybe he said a couple of things I didn't really like, but if he's America first, great. And I went, that's the problem. There it is right there. Now, okay,
but this is one thing I want to point out, because what is your definition of America first? And not you specifically.
That's what I'm saying. You're absolutely right.
Yep, because my concern is, like, let's put aside.
Good, I'm glad you're fired up about this, because I'm already too tired, and I knew you were going to catch on to that. You're like, he is not America first.
Let's put aside the controversy of him being a sexist, racist, anti-Semite, and an actual religious nationalist, because I'm sorry, but I saw another clip of him where he was advocating for, it was the longer version of this clip where he is advocating for, like, if you do not submit to this religion, to this faith, that you deserve execution, that we need to get rid of you. Okay. Right. That is not the way. I'm sorry. That's not Christ-like. I don't know. I don't remember Jesus going around saying, submit to me or I'm going to cut your head off. Okay.
Right.
Or I'm going to execute you. Or that sounds like something else.
Sounds a little Sharia law to me. And everybody's all worried about that. So,
yeah. So let me, like, I will actually, for anyone who just thinks I'm taking this out of context, I will dig up the 6-7 minute clip that I'm referencing.
Put some of those in the show notes.
So you can see the entire thing within its context. Okay.
But that's just my thing, is he was allowed to make himself sound palatable. And now, hundreds of thousands of people who now know who Nick Fuentes is, and they only know him from how he has been constructed and put together on Tucker's show. And that's
and
the whole thing.
This kid is smart. He is completely aware, and he's also very, like, hurt. Like, he's very insecure and hurt, which is why he's also kind of lashed out and reacted the way he has in the past.
Yeah.
And which is one of the things that Tucker sets up in that interview. It's like, oh, this poor guy.
You were very attacked. Sympathetic. Very sympathetic.
Oh, and you were just, and I'm like, okay, yeah, he was just 18 years old, but that has carried on into his adulthood. So first of all, give me a break. But the other thing about the America first narrative, I want you to sit and think, what does America first mean to you? Does America first mean that we end up like China? Does America first mean that we have a dictator that rules over us and that it's okay because everybody's in line and everybody's doing the same thing or what's acceptable by this person? Because that is what he wants. He has shown admiration for China. And if you think I am lying here, let's have Fuentes tell us about it.
You know, so I really seek to emulate China. I look at China, and China has its problems, no doubt. I mean, I don't live in China because I'm an American. But China has the fundamentals right. And China is a country that is led by Chinese people that care about China, that have emphasized Chinese culture. We don't have that. You know, we have a country where the elites are at war with the people. They're all foreigners. They're all multinational types. You know, they have houses everywhere in different countries, all over America. They live completely different lives, and they hate the people here. Regardless of what you think about Russia or China, I envy that they have an independence. We are not that way. Our leaders are part of multinational corporations. They're loyal to other nations like NATO, Japan, Israel, Saudi Arabia. And they're also loyal to like a nebulous liberal ideology. You know, they're loyal to capitalism or democracy or liberalism, but they're not loyal to the people. And so that, to me, that's the real divergence. I'm not a shill for any other nation, but I look at these countries and they don't have the problems we have. Nobody's afraid to walk the streets alone at night in China because they got real law and order. They got real police. Not so in America. I live in Chicago. We pay high taxes for crime and they can't even chase the criminals. And so that's why when I hear people complain about China, I say we should be emulating that.
Well, okay, excuse me. My mother-in-law was born in China and her family fled. Also, people are afraid in China because, oh, I don't know. Let's just pick one of the many reasons why people are afraid to live there. There's no freedom of religion. You're told what you must believe. You're killed, arrested, tortured if you try and preach a different gospel than what they want. They butchered babies for years under a one-child policy because they own you. So, no. That's
because
not America first.
Admiring what he's...
I understand the whole cultural idea of what China is, but we have a culture here in America. People like to say we don't, but we do. And a lot of it was really, really, really beautiful. And then when people started getting this idea that we don't have this shared culture because we were fed bogus history, slowly it started fading. And then you get this where, they do have a culture. They're Chinese people. That's fine. But to act like there's nothing worthy and good and beautiful about America as a country, and we want to emulate a place that you do not have rights in China. You may feel safe on the subway at night, but is that the highest importance? What he's saying and doing is not America first. There's nothing about his messaging. I don't even think he actually understands what an America first truly is. Like
because his America First is focused on, like, to me, it really comes off as, because let me play also, because he mentioned Stalin and admiring Stalin on Tucker. And then Alex Jones asked him about this, I think.
Good, because Tucker didn't.
Today. And so this is his explanation on it.
We've got to talk about, well, just briefly, I know you have a lot of history. And I know Joe Stalin compared to Lenin could be seen as a good guy because Lenin was the real persecutor of Christians. And the Russians saw Stalin as a savior when he came in and killed Lenin. He claimed he died of a stroke. But the Russians are smart. To give the credit for Russia expanding under this, I love the woman you're on. Like, oh, he's from Georgia? Georgia, the country. All of that. Come on. I know you like strong men, but, you like Joe Stalin?
Well, look. I said it on my show. I think he's an evil guy. He's obviously an evil, ruthless person signing the death warrants of millions of people. But what I've always said is he is like the archetypal great man of history. And the reason being is because he runs a dictatorship within the party. The party totally controls society. It's all on him. The buck stops with him. And when you look at where he started and where he ended, he gets total power in, like, let's say 1928. He dies in 1953. Over this 25-year period, he takes Russia from a total peasant country, failing, wartime communism, new economic plan, and he transforms it to this industrial nuclear superpower, bigger than ever. He's taken all of Eastern Europe. He's defeated Hitler. They get the bomb. I mean, so this is somebody.
No doubt Stalin was a great man. But you say Mao Zedong was or Genghis Khan. They're going to make the Nazis mad like in Stalin, too.
Yeah, well, and I think that's kind of a fun reversal because everybody expects me to be the Hitler guy or whatever. And I tell you the truth. I mean, I don't even really know that.
You like the winners?
That's one way to say it. Yeah, I always have.
No,
yes, exactly.
Hitler's a loser set up by British intelligence.
What just happened? What did I just watch?
Like, I'm playing this for you guys to understand, like, when he says America first, he is not talking about American, like, Western principles or ideas.
No, he's talking about American power. He wants American power.
Correct. He's talking about American power. And then his view of how to attain that is through authoritarian rule.
Right.
It's like everybody needs to be the same. Everybody needs to agree on it. And look, you might. That world you can argue might make things easier. Would it be easier if everybody I encountered shared my ideas and was a Christian? And then if anybody got out of line, because he'll also be like, I'm not for any political violence. But if you also listen to what he says, he is also not opposed to once his views reach a position of power, mm-hmm. of using force and violence in order to keep that power. So mm-hmm. like he might be saying like, I don't want you to go out and like riot in the streets or attack people or assassinate people. But then also at the same time, once we get power, because he'll say that once we get power, this is how it's going to be. This is how we're going to rule it. This mm-hmm. is, these are my idols and this is who I appreciate. We're all the same people and we're all in it. And it's not, this to me, in my personal opinion, is not America first, because it is completely opposed to like our constitutional republic.
Right. Yeah. And I think another thing that wasn't brought up in my post, but obviously people know that I think this because I talk about it a lot, is in that interview, you had Tucker and Nick multiple times referencing the Bible and Christianity and how mm-hmm. we're supposed to act and what's expected of us and what's righteous and what's not righteous. And both of them are like agreeing with each other and be like, yes, right, that is. And so you get this kind of like veneer of this is a conversation between two people and they might have some interesting, I don't know, because they really didn't touch on anything deep or controversial about what Nick Fuentes stands for and talks about all the time, which again,
they didn't.
Tucker is not a journalist because he would have done his homework and watched his videos and gotten some background on this guy.
And he says that all the time.
Yes, especially this history that he talked about for the first 30 minutes of his time at Daily Wire and all these people that were so horrible to them. If that's your only idea of what happened, it's very one-sided and you're going to go away from it thinking he was the victim. But setting that aside, Tucker didn't ask about any of the extremely problematic things, save kind of the groupthink about different like groups of people and kind of all targeting all of them together. He did push back on that a little bit. But other than that, he didn't ask any questions. He was not inquisitive. He asked for no context or no answers. And then they infused the whole conversation about Christianity. And so from an outsider who might not know who Nick Fuentes is and trusts Tucker because he's been around forever. They're going to see this and go, well, they both seem like, you know, Christian guys. And I had a lot of people saying on my comments, like, actually, I think it's a great thing. Maybe Tucker can give Nick some guidance, you know, because he's more mature and he can help him and be a mentor to him. And I am like, my brain's exploding. I'm going, what are you talking about? And this is the problem, is these people who give license to, I mean, they all are able to say whatever they want, but these people like Tucker, like Nick Fuentes, like Candace Owens, who invoke and talk about their spirituality, their religion, like it's the most important thing and it guides all their decisions. And yet they are flirting in Candace Owens and in Tucker's case and in Nick's case, just like full on adopting, really, I think, I don't even know the right word except for, I hate problematic, but disgusting ideas.
Well, let me tell you,
that run counter to Christianity. I think that's a bad space for us to be in and to be toying around with it.
No, I completely agree with you. And you can tell also because like there's always a lot of conversation of like, what kind of fruit are you producing? And I was like, well, you know, when you're espousing hate and using your own emotion to manipulate others' emotions, I just like don't have a whole lot of tolerance for that. And I think that's one of the things that's really irritated. Like one of my issues with Fuentes and, you know, and frankly, Candace Owens, too. It's like there's a lot of emotion there, but there's not a whole lot of substance. And because many of us are led by emotion and Tucker does this, too, that, you know, feel validated in that. But specifically when it comes like it frustrates me because I don't see like Tucker Carlson admits that he does not spend a lot of time online. He gets like a digest from people periodically. He just asks questions and he says that. which is, I mean, that's fine. But like, it's like the same thing. Let me give you an analogy here. Like if CNN or the, I don't know, Washington Post is trying to claim that they are unbiased and objective news, well, give me a break. I'm not going to trust you. So, and the same thing applies here. It's like he can do his platform with whatever he wants, but be truthful with what you're doing. You're not investigating. You're not being a journalist. You're not prying. You're not prodding. You're just sitting there letting some, and he, I mean, his pushbacks were very weak and very minimal. And I think one of the things that's really triggering this whole thing where a lot of people are like bringing this up is like akin to cancellation. And we, and that can be like, I don't think it's fair, is the calls specifically with Tucker Carlson when it comes to Turning Point.
Hmm.
And how people are saying that, you know, why does Turning Point continue to have him speak? And today I said, I'm going to include this also in the show notes. So I sent it to you. There was like a 7 minute, actually 15 minutes, maybe it went 15 minutes clip of Nick Fuentes. This is the day after. Where he is speaking very boldly and very proudly, and he is espousing things of like, he was right. Even I'm so sick and tired of people taking Charlie as and speaking for him when this man is dead. Because you have Nick Fuentes saying, even Charlie agreed with me. So-and-so agrees with me. Everybody agrees with me. See, finally, I'm right. And what I see, honestly, is a tiny man who is insecure. And if you listen to the podcast and you know his background, all of this seems to come from a place of being rejected and being insecure about that rejection. And now he suddenly feels like he's validated and he's bringing Charlie into it when Charlie's dead and can't even speak for himself.
Well, and I think
when
the other,
we know publicly that Charlie has, I have a clip here of Charlie talking about Nick Fuentes specifically.
Yeah.
Anybody dissenting from the right, when are we going to have more nationalists? Instead of just engaging with the left, now that the Biden administration has invaded our country, when are we going to build a big tent with nationalists like Jared Taylor and Nick Fuentes?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I don't align with Jew haters. Sorry. Thank you. I'll talk to anybody. You want to tell me why you... Do you hate the Jews, by the way? Like, what do you think of Jewish people?
No. I think they have a disproportionate influence in American politics. However, I do find it interesting that you trot out these far-left...
I'll talk to anybody, but one of the people you mentioned says we should have a holy war against the Jews. Do you believe that?
I believe we need to spread the light of Christ
or no?
to the entire world.
Do you believe in a holy war against the Jews? Yes or no?
I believe in fighting for Christ. And I believe that Jerusalem should be Christian.
Christ was a Jew.
Christ is king.
I agree Christ is king, but yes or no? This is not a trick question.
Do you,
do you believe in a holy war against the Jews? Yes or no? Not a trick question.
Do you think we should try to convert
Why?
Yes, I try to convert everyone to Christianity. I try to convert Dennis to Christianity. I try to do it every day. It's the Great Commission.
But you know what?
Here's what I'm not going to put up with. I'm not going to put up with Jew hatred. In the conservative movement, in America, I'm not going to put up with that in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to put up with it. And I'm not going to put up with it. It's disgusting. It's reprehensible.
Now that everyone agrees with me, I will graciously forgive them.
I think so. That was Fuentes at the end last night or
well,
yesterday.
Well, and that was the clip I shared and that went crazy. And people were really mad that I shared that. I can't figure that out. I just cannot. What I think is also should be noted again, for the people who their only introduction to Nick Fuentes is the pearly, shiny, dusted up one that was on Tucker. Literally, Nick Fuentes would go off and still does about Charlie Kirk, talking about how he was a shill. He was not pro-America. He was actually detrimental to the conservative movement. In the last week, he has said that he thinks that Erica Kirk
is a plant and that she's
plant.
That she's awful, blah, blah, blah. She's an actress, blah, blah, blah. And again, Tucker, he can play the I don't ever watch the videos or I don't, you know what he's saying. Charlie was his friend.
Sometimes I feel like he makes.
And I'm like, like, what? I feel like Tucker uses that, and maybe he is. He's just like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Read this, or I don't watch this.
Because then you can plead.
I'm just not well informed. You tell me.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, no, you're but really he not has informing to know. Yourself.
He needs to know, and I'm sure he did know, that the person he invited on hated his friend that got shot in the neck and continues to talk poorly about him, about J.D. Vance, who also Tucker says is his friend. He spoke in the last 2 weeks about how awful J.D. Vance is. His wife, you know, she's Indian and he has colored kids and all this stuff. And it's like, this is, they're getting now America, who didn't know who Fuentes was. They now know him and they know. And I think this was the most telling part, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. At the very beginning, when Tucker kind of gave him this, you know, a little bit of an intro, and he just said, I invited you on here and I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to let you talk and I'm going to let you tell America who you are. And that right there is the problem, because he didn't tell America who he actually is. And Tucker didn't push back whatsoever to try and inform America of who Nick Fuentes actually is. And therefore, America doesn't actually have a full picture of this guy. They have a new shiny product that he is going to use to his advantage.
He was on his show, like celebrated, like, I'm everybody. Like, yeah. He had arrived.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He had arrived. And I'm just like,
yeah. And I think it's good that I don't understand why we've flown so far in the other direction, where it's like, we didn't like cancel culture and doxing, which are both stupid and wrong, and I don't believe in them, to that means that every single abhorrent, bad person should be given a huge microphone and allowed to talk. That's not what that means. That means we still need to use wisdom and discernment about who we provide resources for. And especially as Christians, think carefully about the information we put out, because that's powerful. And if you have an enormous platform like Tucker has, you're responsible in a large degree to what you are providing for the general public to consume. And, you know, people are saying, well, he had on Putin, he has on other political faces.
Well, I mean, like he doesn't push back against them either, which is my, that's my beef.
Right. So the whole thing, if look, he would have, if Nick Fuentes would have gotten on there and Tucker would have done what I think he should have done, which is push back and brought up all these clips and gone, explain
and
yourself
here.
He doesn't
have to be rude to do that.
No, of course not. Then people would have had a much different reaction. But he just kind of sat there and let Nick Fuentes lie about who he is. Or at least admit all of the extremely important things that he has said.
It's not like Tucker isn't capable, because you saw how he went toe-to-toe with Ted Cruz.
Right.
He
was armed with facts there.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with him confronting Ted Cruz. So my point is, like, why do you confront one and actually push back on one and not the other? Like,
well,
because
he's
sorry.
He has said
it.
He
said that's concerning.
He said it yesterday in the interview. He is ticked off righteously and royally at neocons. And he thinks that Ted Cruz is a neocon. And he has a special hatred for them. He talks about it on almost every single podcast episode. He hates that more than he hates, you know, and that's based on his experience and his time in journalistic pursuits and covering the Iraq war. Fine. But it's so very obvious. You're not here to push back and like discuss ideas, except for when it's like something that really, really, really bothers you. But then you could invite on someone like Nick Fuentes, who has said he hates your friends and he doesn't care about America and he loves dictators and he wants a holy war against a whole group of people. And you just kind of sit there and nod and you're like, oh, wow, okay. That's interesting. In fact, the only part that Tucker really pushed back on him about, which I thought was great, his interview with Nick Fuentes would have gone nuclear had he pushed back on Nick Fuentes on other issues too, was at the very end, like the last 10 minutes about marriage. I thought Tucker actually did a good job to a certain degree pushing back when he was talking poorly about females and women and marriage. And Tucker was like, you've never even dated. You're not married. Get out of here. Like, you live in your parents' basement. Stop.
I think that's another thing that people should take into account. He's not exactly like an example of what a man should be. And there's a lot of young men that are interested in him right now.
Yes, I heard from them last night in my DMs. Mom saying, my son is 21 and watches every single thing Nick Fuentes does. And that is scary. And I know people don't want to talk about that. And we always say words aren't violence. Violence is violence. And that's still true. But ideas and thoughts matter. And when you have the biggest podcast in the country, you need to use discernment about who you, yes, platform. And that's what I mean.
Use. Yeah. I think I would word it more as like, you need to be wise of
how you,
yeah, how you bring them on.
Yes.
So, I really do not have a problem with him.
Yeah,
being
that's a better
on,
wording.
Yeah. It's like, you need to be wise of how you bring them on. Anybody mm-hmm. can bring anybody they want on. I am absolutely completely open to any type of discussion and any type of debate. Dinesh mm-hmm. D'Souza and Fuentes did a debate. It's an excellent debate. I highly recommend that you guys watch it. And actually, Dinesh mentioned that Charlie was really upset. He was like, why are you even giving this guy the time of day? Which I think, in my personal opinion, is a ding on Charlie. Mm. Like, have him on. Have the discussion. But don't just sit there with, like, your arms crossed and being like, yeah, I totally agree with you. And then, like, not push him on anything. Because, like, even if you might agree with some of these things, clearly, what is his definition of America first?
Right.
I think that and the fact that we have, I think we would be blind to not acknowledge that the Democrats have been warming up to the very far left. And like, and this is
the horseshoe,
correct of the same thing.
Yeah.
Be aware. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, pay attention, watch what you want, share what you want or whatever. But like, just because Tucker has basically been like, oh, he's not that bad. Oh, mm-hmm. we kind of like agree on the same things. This dude was packaging himself for the mass audience.
Yeah.
He was packaging himself for the mass audience. And I'm just like, I'm not going to fall for it. And also, can I just say, like, to me, like, some of the things he says sound enticing because it's like the whole China statements that we played here. And, you know, they have a shared identity and they value their...
Mm-hmm.
Our issue here in the United States isn't that we need to be more authoritarian and be more like China. It's that we have to be more tolerant or like loving of our country, of mm-hmm. our American ideals. And it's not going to be perfect. Like, people need to come to terms that the United States is never going to be ideal and it's never going to be perfect because of the way that we are structured. And the only way that you're going to get to perfect, like Fuentes is suggesting, is to end up with some kind of dictator ruling over you. And then that is truly the end of America. So I don't know how America first that is. Okay,
yeah.
I'm done.
I am still trying to process while I'm talking the video with Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes. I'm just still there. That's where I'm at in my mind going, you know, and Tucker has on Alex Jones multiple times. Like,
he caveats. He's like, yeah, Stalin was horrible and he murdered hundreds of people millions of people. And that was horrible. But, you know,
he was a powerful
guy. He was an awesome guy. Like, he was a boss at ruling and making people do what he wants and being a strongman. That is an insecure little dude that cannot have a debate of ideas. Okay. I'm sorry.
No. You don't need to apologize.
Oh, I'm not literally apologizing.
I know. I think that it would be great if you also linked in the show notes to Rod Dreher's.
Oh, his post?
He wrote. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think he actually opened it and brought it in front of the paywall for people because it got so much attention. I thought that was a great take on it. And yeah, just know what your kids are watching, especially if you have boys, if you have sons. I would just be paying attention to the voices that they're listening to. And I don't know how to end this.
No, me neither. I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping this up.
My brain's mush after the last 24 hours.
It's been something else.
It truly has.
And there's plenty of things going on in the news just in general, which we're not even touching on that right now. You can read the news.
You know what people can do? Let us know in the comments or whatever if you like this kind of free flowing back and forth discussion style. We don't do it very often. We usually reserve it for unfilters, but we would be interested in your.
Yeah. And I'll open up the comments to everyone on this one.
Yeah.
Which
We'll see. You may or may not ever hear from us again. We're going to get canceled so hard.
It's like, I wonder how many people are going to cancel their subscription after this.
But how? Why? If you're going to cancel your subscription, like, okay.
I don't care. I don't know. I mean, I just really hope that it's like, this is just a discussion. This isn't, I just want people who are listening, like, this isn't an attack on a listener who doesn't agree with us. That's not what we're doing here.
But isn't that the funny part? Like, I had so many people go, like, I am unfollowing you if this is who you are.
Like, I'm not attacking
you. Like, no, but not just that. It was like, you just got mad at me for saying Tucker Carlson shouldn't have had Nick Fuentes on because that's limiting, like, free speech. But you are the one who's like, I'm out of here. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. It's like, okay. It's the same, kind of the same thing a little bit, but
a little hypocritical, just a suggestion.
Yeah, it is what it is, what it is.
It's fine. So,
it's fine.
But yeah, so we're going to leave the comments open. We're going to see what happens. Let us know what you think about the format. Let us know what you think about today's episode. And that's it.
All right, folks. First of all, if you are a longtime listener, we really appreciate you. And we do want to hear from you. Even if you're mad at us, we welcome it. We might need to, like 24 hours to respond to it. But the comments are open. And in the meantime, I'm just going to tell you that things are kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Find yourself a friend, have a chat, and enjoy your weekend. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and we're done. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Black Friday, well, shop Wayfair now. Month long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out the song. Best gift in four, Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets that are due. Everything home, these things in chrome. Hands up with clog, area roads. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is home.
Win the season, win the season.